Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us today. If you want to see more, you can always go to savingwithsteve.us and get all the episodes, background, guest gifts, the whole shot. And I also want to thank you for sharing with your friends and family. We just exceeded 700,000 listeners, so we're very excited about that. Today, we're going to be talking about the state of retirement, but from a perspective of how to update your budget with inflation, because that's a biggie. But we also have something that's important to understand, and I think it's important to say up front, and then I'm going to introduce our guest. Now, we have seen inflation in 2021 here in the States at 7%. In other countries, it's even higher, whether it be Canada, the UK, or Europe. 2022 here in the States is 6.5. So far in 2023, it's over 4.4. So we had an 18% increase in the cost of living just in the last 3 years. And on top of that, because the Fed interest rate increases, we're seeing mortgages here in the States, 6.5-7%. Other places a lot higher, auto loans, 7-10%, credit cards, 18-24%. Many people are struggling, whether it be US, Canada, UK, or Europe. And you know what? We're in luck. We have Candace Bach-Friesen. She's going to help us through it all. Candace is a well-respected speaker. She's a certified money coach, top performing realtor, real estate investor, business coach. She's from Winnipeg, Canada. Candace is constantly trying to help people find a healthy way to deal with money and not be afraid of it. As you know, a lot of people think the world puts it that way. It's not as scary as you might think. And that's why we're happy to have Candace here. So Candace, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, I do have a question. Winnipeg, Canada. I have relatives in Canada. So what's the temperature over there today?
Well, we're in Celsius. So today's 23. It's a nice sunny day, not too hot, but we definitely have the extremes. We've got hot Florida temperature all the way to, of course, minus 30 when people don't like to go outside too much.
I'm actually sunny California, and you know, the wine area is just above San Diego. Our temperature is actually lower than yours, because when you said 23, that works out to about 76 degrees. We're not even 76, we're like 60 something. It's misty like an English winter. We're full June gloom compared to you. So good for you. What I really would love is for you to share a little bit of your background, because whatever somebody does, there's something that drives them to that, that makes it their thing. So tell us a little bit about you.
I was always kind of interested in money, I think, and business, because my parents and grandparents were entrepreneurs. So that was just part of life, I think. And when you grow up, you don't really know or appreciate that. But I think that it's given me an edge as an adult now, because you learn a lot of lessons just around the dinner table, right? And you hear the struggles and you hear the bad and the good, right? And so, and then my grandparents were really influential in my life, and they came as refugees after World War II with nothing. And so it was always very forward focused. That was what we were taught as kids, you know, like we've worked hard and developed, you know, a life in Canada because we're out working for you guys. Like it was always thinking two generations ahead, right? So that was kind of a bit of my background. My aunt was the only person in our family at that point, because almost everyone was entrepreneurs, who had gone to university, and she was an accountant. And so I thought, yeah, I'm good with numbers. I think I'll become an accountant too. So I got my Bachelor of Commerce and ended up getting into business, I think, because it's in the genes. So Yeah, so long story short, I have been a realtor for 16 years, and sort of halfway through that, I started doing some money coaching because people are like, hey, we're done with the real estate part of things here, but you seem to know stuff about money. So can we talk about, you know, whatever topic it is? And you get to know people really well during a real estate transaction. It's a very trusted process. And a lot of times people are going through really tough stuff. You know, you're selling because of divorce, you're selling because of death, or, you know, mom's going to a home, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of how that evolved. Amongst a few other things I do, that's kind of the stuff that takes up most of my time.
One of the nice things about our platform is we go to our listener base and say, hey, this is who we're going to talk about. Here's some of the things they talk about. The first question is how to approach money struggles with a healthy attitude, because a lot of people just don't, because they're scared about it. They're worried about having it at the end of the month. And in many cases, they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So help us walk through that, if you would.
Yeah, I think the first step is just acknowledging like that everybody has struggles. Like, I think I read a stat once that 4 out of 5 people have had some type of money struggle in their life. Like, pretty much everybody has, right? And maybe you're not struggling right now, but you did when you were young. A lot of times people do make dumb mistakes, right? And then they kind of have to learn and get past maybe debt they took on that they shouldn't have. And the other thing is that most people didn't learn about this in school. And if your parents didn't talk about it, which is also common, nobody talks about money. That's why shows like this are so important. Then of course we're going to make mistakes because we weren't taught, right? And so the main thing to consider is that you're not alone in this. And so don't worry if you've screwed up. The thing to focus on is that you can always improve and you can always get better. So one of the things that I think people struggle with nowadays most is that there's no purpose, there's no why. People really don't take enough time to think about that. And a lot of our money decisions are made emotionally. So we know the wise thing to do, but we tend to make emotional decisions. And so if you really know why you're driven, you know, just like my example with my grandparents, they were driven to give us a better future. And so that was her driving force for everything she did. That's why they saved a lot of money. That's why they made the investments they did. It was all future focused. And so it doesn't matter what it is. It could be that you want to retire early. It could be that you want to have 5 sports cars in your garage. But if you know what your why is, that's what will really drive your money decisions.
That's wonderful. There's many people that we speak with that are outside the show that when we have that conversation, like, okay, so I see you're in a coffee shop is a big thing. So they go to the coffee shop. Well, it's a social environment. And they go there once a day and they're buying a pastry and a coffee. And that's 10 bucks. And they keep doing that. In fact, when things get more stressful, they do it twice a day.
Right.
So when you get to realize, yeah, you just spent 600 bucks this month on going to a coffee shop. Is that something that makes sense? How can you reduce that? So I totally get that. That's that emotional side of it. The other part is, if you have an understanding of what's important to you, you start saying, okay, do you really need to spend it on that?
Right.
That they can, you can take control of your decisions and say, you know what? Okay, I'll spend 100 bucks on that. The other 500 I'm going to save so I don't have to work in another 20 years.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about budgeting, how people should go about setting that up. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some more Saving with Steve and Candace here, and she's going to be helping us through it. So we'll be right back. See you in a few moments.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night.
We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we're talking about the ins and outs of money. I just want to remind you all the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show. You can check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. You can also follow us at Saving with Steve Sexton on Facebook. You can always go to the website at savingwithsteve.us. Now, we have Candace Bach-Friesen. One of the big things that we want to discuss is budgeting. Many people say, okay, I can create a budget, but they really don't do this properly. And there's not a science to it. It's just a process. And if it's done properly, you can make a big difference in your life. So help us walk through that budgeting piece, Candace.
Yeah. So for everybody who's still tuned in after you said we're going to be talking about budgeting, Steve, here we go. Because most people hear the word budget, they go, ah.
Either that or they're already snoring.
Yeah, exactly.
So 15 seconds, they're asleep.
So
thank God you don't listen to this at night. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think the first thing to think about is let's just call it a plan. Like literally the word budget makes people cringe. It makes them get stressed out. So just call it a plan and a money plan, right? So from Canada where I am, if I'm driving to Florida, I need a plan before I'm going to leave, right? I need to figure out where I'm staying, how much money I need, which route I'm taking, right? I don't just get in my car and leave. So it's the same with money, right? The more that we can plan for things, the more that we can think through our money, the better results we're going to have. And so if you really just simplify it to that, I think that that doesn't make it so overwhelming for people. So if you have a plan and you stick to it the best that you can, then you're going to get great results. Acknowledge that, again, we make emotional decisions. So you might see, you know, a great deal and go blow a whole bunch of money that you shouldn't have made, that you shouldn't have spent, and a decision maybe that you shouldn't have made. But, you know, we all make these decisions. So it's just about getting back on track and starting from the next day as, you know, today I'm going to do a better job than I did yesterday. Forgiving yourself when we do things that maybe we shouldn't do, you know, in quotes, shouldn't do. But the more, again, that we can commit to that, the better we do. And, you know, I often compare it to eating healthy because that's something people relate to. Yeah, maybe I'm going to have too much dessert one day, but that doesn't mean my whole life's ruined. The next day, I could just get back on eating healthy again and trying again to do my best.
Basically, what you're saying is, everybody has a budget. Nobody's going to be perfect. It's just the way it is. And yeah, Everybody's going to get on and off that wagon, so to speak. But the key is to try and do the best you can. The other part is it important? Obviously, you write down the mortgage, the costs for insurance for the home, the taxes, the utilities, and then every little thing you spend. How detailed should it be?
Yeah, you really should be trying to account for every dollar as much as you can. Because it's too easy to say, well, I'm just going to pay attention to the big things. Well, those are important, but it's easy, again, like you said, to blow $600 in a coffee shop buying the small things. So I think there's a saying, small leaks sink ships, right? So it's those small ways that we spend money that can cause us to really get off track sometimes. But again, I don't like to say, well, never drink a coffee and, you know, heat your house, you know, at 15 degrees and eat craft dinner because you got to save money. Like, you know, we still have to live, right? But it's really just looking at prioritizing, you know, what is most important right now and working towards that goal and recognizing everybody has to give up something. You know, we can't have it all either.
Should people be looking at different ways to reduce their spending? And I'm not saying, for example, people have cell phones. There's multiple carriers. We can probably find somebody who charges us less and get the same plan. Or if we've got auto insurance, is there a way we can check around and see if we can lower that cost? Nobody wants to freeze during the wintertime or overheat during the summer. So setting the thermostat, which really isn't going to change all that much from a cost standpoint. For example, there's so many streaming apps. Every time I do a budgeting or something like this, I always go look at our budget. And yeah. My wife loves the little streaming things. And like, we have four of them. And I'm like, do you ever use that one? Oh, no, I just tried it for this one and I got the 30 days free. But, you know, we've been paying it for 4 or 5 months. So yeah, I go in and get those out, so to speak, looking at little things like that. And for us, it's like, hey, $15 here, $20 here, whatever there, it all adds up.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the first time we did that. I think we saved like $800 a month just from looking at ways to reduce the expenses. And I was curious, is there other ways that you encourage your clients to look at that?
Yeah. And that's one of the first steps is really just analyzing where is the money going, right? You got to have this base where you're starting from, right? And that's a big thing for people is that they don't recognize where all the money's going. So when you actually just sit down and say, okay, what did I spend over the last couple of months and where did it go? People are usually shocked. They're like, oh, I thought I spent way more on food than I am. Or the opposite. Oh, I didn't even realize I had all these subscriptions that I was paying for. So that's the first step is just recognizing, hey, where am I spending? But again, like anything, the more that you focus on this, the better you're going to do. So you got to be checking your accounts. You got to be checking in, see what's going on and making sure that you try as best you can to make it a fun thing to look at the numbers at the end of the month too and see how you did. Because if you never step on the scale, you don't know how you're doing, right? If you never measure your pants or your leg size after you're, you know, working out, if you don't check your results, you can't judge how you're doing, right? So you do have to spend some time doing that. So as much as you can, make it something fun around that, right? Maybe go out for dinner and do the budget check-in with your partner, right? Whatever that looks like to make it a little bit more fun, but you have to do it. So,
okay. Everybody goes through the shiny object syndrome. It's just all of us have that.
Yeah.
What is it and how can we avoid it?
Yeah. Well, it's really just that there's so many things that are vying for our attention, right? You can go on social media and they're like, buy this. You want to be a better person? You should be doing this. If you have a business, it's even worse. You want to 10X your business? You better come spend $20,000 on my course, right? There's always something that's telling you this is how you're going to be better. This is how you're going to feel better. This is going to make you more successful in life. And so it's just really recognizing again, like what is actually important to me and what are my goals and trying not to be distracted by all of the things vying for our attention.
Okay. Yeah. I love that shiny object syndrome. I mean, we do it in business all the time when somebody comes in with this new program that you think it's going to make the future work. And then you spend the money and you realize, why did I do that? And it's just like buying the wrong piece of candy. Roger T. So my understanding is you're a real estate investor and you also one of the top performing realtors there. I'd like to just tell us, what's the real estate market like in Canada? Has it changed? Is it like some of that in the States?
Yeah, so I think that our markets are quite similar. And the other thing to consider is that they're also very specific to where you live, right? And so you can have a city where just different neighborhoods, even the markets are different, right? So real estate's very specific. However, in general, we tend to follow the same trends as you. So Our inflation rates are about the same. Our interest rates are about the same. It's just sort of how we are because we're long lost cousins, our countries, right? But, you know, we have issues just like you in cities where, you know, there's lack of affordable housing and our government is trying to rectify and figure out how to create more housing. And I think across the states in general, it's sort of the same idea. But in our local market, we're in the prairies, so just above North Dakota and Minnesota. So we're kind of the quieter, slow and steady is our market. So we don't have huge ups and downs. So during COVID, the markets were hot because there wasn't enough inventory. And we're starting to sort of get that same thing. So even though our interest rates right now here are about 5%, we're still finding that the market is starting to really heat up and we're having multiple offers and all of that again. I think people have just gotten used to where it's at. And again, there's still a lot of people who want to own homes, right? It's kind of that, we call it the American dream, even though we're not in America, but you know, people still want to own a home. They still want to raise a family in a home. They want to see their equity grow. And a lot of people, that's a big part of their retirement is selling the house eventually and living off that money, right? Definitely, we're having a active market right now.
Candace, if people would like to get in touch with you to engage you for your money coach or get help with you from the real estate standpoint, how do they go about getting in touch with you?
My brand for real estate and money coaching is investorsmarts.ca. CA is for Canada. So investorsmarts.ca.
You heard that, everybody? Investorsmarts.ca for Canada. Candace, I want to thank you for joining today. This is wonderful. It's nice to hear that Canadian accent a little bit there because that's where my relative's from. And as soon as my mom starts hearing that, she starts saying the word A after everything. With that, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. And hopefully we'll have you back soon. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with some more Saving with Steve. See you in a few moments.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We talked to Candace Bakke-Friesen. She was wonderful about how to help budgeting. She talked about real estate in Canada. It was just outstanding. We're lucky to have her today. Now, one of the big things we want to talk about is how to update your budget with this inflationary period. In fact, inflation's horrible. As I said before, we've seen almost an 18.5% increase in 3 years in our cost of living. If you happen to be in Europe or England or Canada, it's even more. Wallet, you know, gets stretched thinner and thinner every day. You're probably in the middle of it right now. In fact, research says 1 in 3 and 4 Americans have noticed a rise in prices. 85% of people surveyed feel that their money just doesn't buy as much because it's inflation. Okay. How do we adjust our budget for inflation? First of all, it's important you actually have a budget. Okay. So if you don't, set one up. And this includes doing those things like, you know, mortgage, taxes, interest, utilities, gas. That means your gas for your car. That means everything that goes along with you spending every single cent. And secondly, you want to start taking a look at what's called a zero-based budget. And when you take a look at a zero-based budget, what you're doing is you're giving every dollar that you are spending a job. So if that job's to save for a vacation for 3 years down the road or 6 months or whatever it is, you're putting money in there. There's an account. That's a budget item. If you're saving for future taxes or an emergency fund, okay, you have a job for that. So you want to assign every single dollar you receive a job for the month. That's called zero-based budgeting, because then you don't have anything left over because it's all going to where it's supposed to. Okay. Now, if you're tracking this, you do want to track it on a monthly basis and review what you're spending. First of all, when you review your spending, you want to look at everything you're spending on. Okay. So if you realize you're going into your debit card or your credit card, and there you go, you got the three or four or five different streaming apps, and you're only actually on two, get rid of the other three. If you got a meal delivery service, hey, get rid of it. If you've got some other gym membership or Jazzercise or whatever it is that you're not using, get rid of it, okay? So you can cut it that way. But the big thing about the spending here is this. Every little bit counts. If it's $5 here, $10 here, $20 here, $30 here, $100 and so on, it keeps adding up, all right? Find ways to save. I'm not saying do anything different than what you're doing, but do it for less money. So that means a cell phone plan. You know what? When we first cut our cell phone plan, we were spending about $300 a month. Now we're down to about $185 a month. We're just on a different network and we're getting the same service. We don't have any problems, anything like that. It just saves us a whole bunch of money. Second, cable bills, streaming services. Do you need them all? We had a regular phone, but we just went to the internet and kept our cell phones. The only people were calling our house anyways were slitters trying to sell us stuff. So we just cut off the landline. That saved us money. We only went to an internet service. We went from a very large bill down to one that was about $125 a month. Very, you know, it's less. When we started looking at food, we realized that if we bought the packaged salads, they were $5 a piece, but we can buy romaine lettuce, we can buy spinach, nuts, croutons, cheese, and the salad dressing. We can buy all those things. And basically, if we're going through a salad a night, which is $25 a week or $5 a night, $150 a month, we could spend $50 a month buying and making our own salads. Things that are canned cost more than things that are not. So think about that. Plus, you get better nutrients. And we find out that other things are less expensive when we get healthier. But more importantly, we save money on the food. And the eating out's a biggie. You know, eating out includes going for the coffee shops, going to the inn and, you know, going through the drive-thrus and stuff like that. Hey, if you're bringing lunch, you get better nutrients. You're not as weighed down. You have less weight added to your body. But more importantly, you could reduce the amount of spending that you have. Now, earn some extra money. Nothing wrong with the side gig. Many people drive for Uber, Lyft, or many other places that make $500-$700 a month to help. Next, shop around. We talked about that before. There's nothing wrong also with adjusting your budget line. Sometimes expenses will go up because you got medical expenses. Adjust the budget lines. Make sure it goes into the right place. And the last thing that's most important, track your transactions. If you keep tracking your transactions, you're going to be able to stay on pace. But more importantly, you want to set some goals. Hey, I want to be here. I want to reduce this by this much. I have one couple we helped with this, and they hadn't been on a vacation in 5 years. And we showed them where they can go to find and plan for a vacation, but we also showed them how they can just give money a job. And 6 months later, they were able to take their whole family on vacation, the first one in 5 years, and now they go to two every single year because they plan for it. And they're not wasting money. So you could do this too. This is one of those wonderful ways that you can update your budget to adjust for inflation. I want to thank you all for joining us here on Saving with Steve. I hope you stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happy, healthy relationship with money. For more information, you can always go to the Saving with Steve website, that's savingwithsteve.us website. You can also check us out on Facebook and get guest gifts, behind the scenes videos, which everybody loves. So again, thank you for being with us. For many people, you've spent years accumulating the assets that you have today. Thought about, hey, what was the best way to use the money you saved? How would you withdraw that money from your IRA, 401k, other accounts? You're getting impacted majorly by federal income taxes during retirement and other things. Many people, when we started looking at this episode, they've searched in vain for helpful information on retirement withdrawal strategies, and they're not really seeing it. So our current guest, he decided to create a retirement tax simulator called the Retirement Tax Savers Tool. The tool shows how and when money is withdrawn from retirement accounts and how it can have an enormous impact on your taxes. And he thought the information important enough to share. He did try to attempt his early retirement, but that didn't work out. So we're just going to list him as part of our serial retirees. So he created this cool book. It's called From Savvy Saver to Smart Spender, How to Pick a Tax-Wise Retirement Withdrawal Strategies. It's got wonderful reviews. And you know what? I want to introduce everybody to Daniel McDonald. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Steve. I'm happy to be here.
For all of you who don't know Daniel, he had been a lawyer for 36 years. He practiced U.S. Patent Trademark Office. He was recognized for many years as a super lawyer. He was recognized by U.S. News and World Report as the best lawyer. And he was the Lawyer of the Year in Minnesota for 2015. Obviously, presented and defended many people on million-dollar cases. He's also a certified retirement planner with Dave Ramsey. So it's really interesting. He's a financial coach, lawyer. Again, I want to welcome you to the show, Daniel. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. And, you know, savvy saver, smart spender, Steve Sexton, all that alliteration's got to go together, doesn't it?
Well, you forgot to add in Saving with Steve.
My apologies.
But if you'd like to get his book, we'll have it on the website as soon as this issue airs, and you'll be able to just click that and go right to wherever you want it if you're interested in getting his book. So I wanted to make sure everybody knows that up front. But before we kick it off and start asking you some serious questions, what got you to the point where you went from being a lawyer to becoming a certified financial coach with Dave Ramsey?
Well, it has a lot to do with the clients I had the pleasure of representing for those 35 years. I tended to work for small companies, large companies, but a lot of inventors, intellectual property laws, what I did. So I was representing a lot of people that created things of value. And they were great clients. That was probably the best part of the job, is the people I got to meet as clients and represent in all those cases. And I was kind of a wannabe. I was envious of their creativity on things. So it was always on my bucket list. I wanted to patent something. I wanted to be an author and create some works of authorship. And so I've got a patent or two. We can talk about that if you like. It's not going to change the world, but it was a little something I came up with. And when it was actually on my bucket list to write a book, I wasn't sure when I was going to do it. But when I came across this issue and had that aha moment, that led to the book, it kind of came together that, okay, that thing that's on your bucket list about writing a book, this is the topic.
Oh, wonderful. So let's get right into it. I'm just going to start out with our viewers' list of questions here. Conventional wisdom, we talk about waiting to use tax-deferred 401k, IRA accounts until required minimum distributions begin, and they're obviously beginning at age 73 now. You indicate that, you know what, you could actually lead into paying more taxes than you need to. Help us understand what would be a good strategy to move forward with something like that.
Well, I'm kind of a visual person when I learn things, so I'm going to try to paint a little visual picture for you here.
Perfect.
It's your income over your life, this graph, where the you know, the years go across the bottom and the dollars go up and down. So you're going along from, you know, 30 to 65 or whenever you're going to retire, and the number keeps going up, hopefully for a while. Maybe it kind of levels off for a while, but it's up there pretty good. So that's like the upper left part of what I'm going to call the U curve, okay? Mm-hmm. It's about the time you're wrapping up working. You're still making a lot of money. Life is great from that standpoint. And then you stop working if you retire, and then you have a big drop off in income. So now we're getting to the bottom of the U, and that's nice from a tax standpoint. You're not making as much money then, but at least you're not paying as much taxes for a while. But then we've got this, the right side of the U, where it ramps back up again for a lot of people anyway. And why is that? Well, it has to do with the fact that when you hit, now, as you say, it's 73, you hit that age where you have to start taking money out of your 401k and IRA. That's all taxable income. And whether you wanted to take it out or not, you pretty much have to, unless you want to pay a heck of a big penalty to the IRS. So now that taxable income can go up. It goes up also because you start taking Social Security at some point in there, probably mid to late 60s or 70. You can put it off until 70. And I think you may not always appreciate it, but Social Security definitely can be taxed if you've got some other taxable income, especially. So all of a sudden, you get paying more taxes on the upper right side of that U again. You enjoyed that lower tax period for a little while there, but you get hammered again a little later after you're 73. So the point is, can you change that? Can you mix that up? And the critical point is, you don't have to wait to start withdrawing from those 401k and IRAs until you have to. Just because you have to take it out then doesn't mean you have to wait until then. Mm-hmm. And if you take it out sooner, you can level off that U curve, make it a smooth curve, a flat curve-ish, and then you can also flatten out and lower your tax rates over the course of retirement.
I think it's wonderful, especially now that required minimum distributions went from 70 and a half to 72 to 73. I actually think it's smart thing for government revenue to do that. And the reason why I say that is basically people just leave those accounts alone and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And really all it is an IOU to the IRS. So you're in a position now where you have to take out more and more because it's larger and you're getting older. And then when you're within a short period of time, I'm saying people shouldn't live too long, but I mean, when they pass, they either have to take it out over 5 years or 10 years, depending on whether it's a stretch or not. So there's a lot of revenue that goes to the federal government there. And what you're talking about is kind of leveling out that distribution so you can keep the tax at a certain spot, as opposed to being all of a sudden hit in those later years, which could be devastating to somebody's retirement income.
Right. And that's just assuming the tax rates stay the way they are right now. And we actually are pretty sure they're just going to go up in the future. For one reason, tax cuts passed during the Trump administration expire at the end of 2025. Mm-hmm. And basically, most people's taxes are going to go up. The formulas are going to be a little different, but the standard deduction is going to go way down. And the tax brackets are going to shift such that most people are going to owe more money, even at the same level of income. So that's one whammy. The other one is, historically, we're about the lowest income tax rates we've had in probably 50 years right now. So is there a chance that our friends in Congress might monkey with that at some point and move those numbers up in addition to the kicker that happens in 2026? Well, I wouldn't bet against that. You want to plan for the future, and it's unknown. But it seems like there's a lot of winds that point in the direction of tax rates going up in the future. So if that's true, take it out sooner before that hits. And then you'll get your money out at lower tax rates.
That's rocked right into the next question. And you're talking about making that simple little withdrawal strategy change. As a result, it could save thousands of dollars in taxation over somebody's period of time. Could you kind of unravel that a little bit for us as well? Because I know you just touched on it there a second ago.
Yes. Well, and this ties into the use of that tax saver that I have at the website, retirementtaxsaver.com. You can put in your assets that you've got, and it could be from a variety of sources. You have your 401k or IRA retirement, but hopefully you've got some other sources of income too. Maybe you've saved some other money up in another account that might be in bonds or mutual funds or something. You might have a Social Security someday pension. You factor all those things in. But basically what the core issue here is, test out the possibility of not waiting to withdraw from that IRA or 401k until your required minimum distribution age. Start picking a number. Maybe it's $10,000 or $20,000 a year, maybe more. And just see, what if I started withdrawing from those accounts when I'm 65, for example, instead of 72 or 73? If I started taking out, $20,000 a year, I'm going to pay taxes more up front, because when you withdraw up front, you got to pay the taxes then. But can I save taxes over the longer term? Let's say by the time I'm 80 or 90, those are kind of the benchmarks I use for my calculator. Can you save in the longer run? And paying taxes in the shorter run might be okay if you wind up saving a lot more in the long run. That's the bottom line.
I agree, especially with an increase in taxes. We're going to have to take a break. Stick with us. We'll be back with more Daniel McDonald and Saving with Steve. See you soon.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I just want to say I truly thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate you let your friends and families know about our show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insights on Saving with Steve, and I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, our Google Play channel. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, New York E360 TV, as well as Las Vegas TV networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, unlift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Welcome back, Daniel McDonald. Thanks again for being on the show. He's got this wonderful book you want to check out. It's called The Savvy Saver to Smart Spender, How to Pick a Tax-Wise Retirement Withdrawal Strategy. And Daniel, where can people get your book?
The easiest way is to go on to Amazon and just start typing in From Savvy, because that narrows it down pretty quick. It'll populate the name of the book right there and just click on it and take it from there.
Okay, so now we've been talking about leveling out our distribution once we get old enough to start taking out money. We've talked about the reason why we see taxes going up. And one of the reasons that would affect us is the fact that we know where we're at right now. We know they're going to go up in the future, and they might even be higher with all the debt spending and all that stuff that's going on with the government. So it's important to take a few steps. Now, one of the questions that my viewers have is finding out which states tax Social Security and how a withdrawal strategy could save you even more if you live in a state with income taxes. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, because we all know that you get taxed since 1983 or 1984 when the Greenspan Commission completed. That's when we got the provisional income tax thresholds and the provisional income tax for people. And people have been grumbling about that ever since. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, a couple of things on the federal front that you mentioned, Steve. It doesn't matter where you live, you're going to be potentially subject to taxes on your Social Security at the federal level. And what's interesting, you point out how long ago that's been. A lot of the stuff in the federal tax system is indexed for inflation, right? The tax brackets and things. Well, the thresholds for when your Social Security can start to get taxed and taxed a lot don't index with inflation. So more and more people get hooked into that, sucked up by that Social Security tax every year. Even if your income was only keeping up with inflation, you're just going to get more and more hammered by that. So that's the unfortunate bad news at the federal level, number one. And number two, you're right. There are 12 states. They're all listed in the book. I don't know if you want me to list them all. I can tell you my former home state is Minnesota. I'm now in Florida. And I love Florida for many reasons. This might be one
right
of them.
Right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's like 10 degrees or whatever there too right now, and at palm trees. So that all helps too. But you have about 12 states: Colorado, Connecticut, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, North Dakota, Rhode Island, Vermont. West Virginia, I think, might have just been changing their law. I got to double check that. But West Virginia was taxing it. I think as of this year, they might not be. But that's the list right there. You have a lot of states that don't have any income taxes at all, Social Security or not. Those are kind of nice states too. Then you have other ones that do tax income, but they don't tax Social Security. But those 12 that I just listed are the ones that do tax Social Security, at least in part.
That's a nice thing to know, especially if you live in one of those states and you know that they tax Social Security. Let's talk a little bit more about designing a strategy that takes into account your tax deferral, other assets, Social Security benefits, and other income sources so you can reduce taxation. Quite frankly, statistics show or surveys show that almost 96% of the country are saying, hey, I believe taxes are going to go up. We know that we have the sun setting. They actually think they're going to go up farther than that. There's a lot of people out there going, you know, what can I do? Even though they might talk to a CPA, and no plight on CPAs, most CPAs, they're really good at preparing a tax return. And they're asking if you get this deduction or that deduction. But when it comes to planning for the future, that's not really in their funnel, so to speak. Where are you looking at? How would you see that fit for people?
Right. You know, it ties into, like you were saying earlier, that it's just hard to find resources from places that actually address this issue. And I guess the cynical part of me, I've been a lawyer for 35 years, so pardon my cynicism. But if you're a company that has billions or trillions of dollars in people's retirement money, do you really want to start encouraging them to start taking it out sooner? You know, I mean, every day they keep your dollars, they make a little more money on them, right? So that might be not at the top of their priority list. So that's where my skepticism comes from. But so I had to kind of figure this out myself. And that's why I had the aha moment that I mentioned earlier that led to the book is when I decided I just needed to create my own calculator. And that's why when I got the help of my son, who is a computer science guy, I mean, I have an electrical engineering degree, but from the 80s, you know, that's when we still use punch cards to do the computer programming. So I decided I needed an upgrade. So I got my son involved. And we did the numbers, and that's when I realized, oh, this can have a big impact here if we start taking out those withdrawals before the RMD age. One of the things that was a theory that I was testing is, well, let's look at the tax brackets. You know, you have a big jump, for example, from 12% to 22% in tax rates would add around, let's call it about $50,000 of income. You know, would you include the amount that would be subject to a standard deduction? That's around 30,000. That first 10% is about 20. And then you get to 12,000 at about 50. And then you have that 12% bracket for about $60,000 in between there. So you have all these steps, and some of them are pretty big jumps. So let's say in a given year, I'm looking at having $70,000 in taxable income. Well, if my next tax break is, let's say, at $100,000, that's when I'm going to go into the next bracket. What if I took $30,000 more out of my IRA and stayed within the same bracket I'm in now, but kind of maximize that bracket? Take every dollar I can at that lower rate before I take that next dollar at the higher rate. And it turns out that correlates a lot to the actual numbers that I ran, that if you did that, odds were you're going to be saving taxes substantially over the longer term. So use up the tax brackets you're in. I refer to it in the book, use it or lose it, because if you don't take advantage of that tax bracket this year, next year, you're never going to be able to put dollars into that tax bracket this year, because this year is going to be next year.
Now, when somebody does that, if they don't need the money, does it make sense to do a Roth conversion?
Bingo. Right. I mean, a lot of my book is focused on just even to meet your expenses, you might want to do this. But there certainly are scenarios for a lot of people where even if I don't need that extra money to meet expenses, I want to do something with it and get it out of my IRA and 401k. It might even make sense to do it even if you couldn't do a Roth conversion, but boy, what a bonus it is if you can take some of that money and put it into a Roth, because then it's blessed for the rest of its life by the IRS. They'll tax it in the year you convert it, but it'll never be taxed again. It can grow and grow and grow. And has some other benefits too from a retirement standpoint that I'm not going to go into, but just the tax-free growth and tax-free when you withdraw it, whenever you choose to do that, which you don't necessarily, if it's in a Roth IRA, you don't have to withdraw it at any particular moment. A lot of big benefits to a Roth IRA. So definitely if you have a chance and you have the money to pay those taxes up front and do that conversion, it's got some great tax benefits.
So what I'm inferring from what you're talking about is if you have a Roth IRA, now you have tax-free income from that, and then you might have Social Security, and then you might have some dividends and capital gains. But if, say, for example, you're married and you're, well, the married bracket's $89,450, but if you're like $89,000, and maybe you're a little above that, but that income's coming from Social Security, And then the rest of it's coming from dividends and capital gains. If you're under the $89,000, now your capital gains and dividends aren't taxable because it's in the 12% bracket. So essentially, you could be just paying taxes on Social Security minus your standard deductions. So it's a nice way where somebody could be in a situation later on in life when taxes are higher and you could pay next to nothing in taxes.
That's a lot of it. That lower income in the future can benefit you, like you say, as well. I mean, I'll turn that around a little bit and talk about the future of your capital gains taxes. If you can manage those tax brackets today and be in lower tax brackets in the future and lower taxable income, pretty good chance you might be in a lower bracket for capital gains taxes in the future as well. So that can give you that added flexibility in the future. If you're planning on a big capital gain this year, you know, if you're going to sell something that's a lot of money, you know, maybe this isn't the year to do that big Roth conversion if it's going to jack you into a higher bracket, right? This isn't a one-size-fits-all situation. And that's part of the flexibility I offer with the calculator online. It doesn't just say, hey, here's the one number you ought to use. It gives you some flexibility there to look at different numbers and see what your comfort zone is. And maybe you have some reasons you wouldn't want to necessarily maximize your withdrawal this year. Well, it lets you still see, hey, I could still save some money on my taxes if I take maybe less than the optimum number. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of mix and match your own approach a little bit that way.
Daniel, we have about 30, 40 seconds. I just want to encourage people, if you're looking at a way to reduce, eliminate taxes, especially if you're retired, go to www.retirementtaxsavers.com. Take a look at Daniel's calculator. It could make a gigantic difference in your life. And also really want to check out his book at Savvy Savers to Smart Spenders, How to Pick a Tax-Wise Retirement Withdrawal Strategy. You can go to Amazon, obviously. That link will be up on our website. It'll just give to the direct link to Amazon so you can get Daniel's book. Daniel, do you have any parting thoughts for everybody before we go?
I just love being on your show, Steve. I think you're doing a great job and it's a real pleasure to be here.
It was actually a pleasure to have you because the things that you're talking about make a difference to every single one of our listeners. So thank you very, very much. And I hope you have a wonderful day and we'd like to have you back again. Thank you.
Great, Steve. Thanks a lot.
We're going to have to take a break. Stick with us. We'll be back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. Again, my name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. And if you want to check out all the episodes, this one included as well as any others, you can always go to savingwithsteve.us. Now, today's segment for me is all about how scams work. Now, there's this one scam that's Tinder, all those dating sites, and it's called the swipe right scam, okay? And basically what happens is you swipe right on an attractive man or a woman on a dating app. The app instantly matches you with them. You start up a conversation. The alleged female or male quickly takes the conversation off the platform onto a texting app such as WhatsApp, WeChat, something like that. Once on that texting app, the scammer starts talking about how they have a family member who's successful in cryptocurrency or some other investment that's doing really well. That person has inside trading information that could make you rich. Your new love interest encourages you to take advantage of the exclusive opportunity. All you need need to do is to deposit money in a crypto trading platform. But once you make the deposit, the money's gone forever. Your new love blocks you on all the platforms, stops replying to you, the whole shot. Okay. This has been reported to Better Business Bureau, all sorts of places. Usually one of the big things here is this. After talking to one woman on Tinder, the person persuaded her to invest in a fake trading currency platform. When she would try to withdraw the money, the funds were automatically reversed back into his account. The feature was alleged security system issue to help prevent money laundering. The victim was told the account needed to have a minimum balance of $3,000 before he would withdraw with funds. After several tries, the victim was unable to recoup their money. Here's a couple things. Never send money or personal information to someone you've never met in person. There's so many scams, where they call them romance scams, where they're actually a sailor overseas, an international business traveler that's about to come in town. Oh my God, I have an issue with this or this with the family. Need a little bit of money. You help them or you get involved with the investment. I know somebody personally who was so enamored online and started out with $50,000. It became more and more. In fact, they wiped out her $400,000 IRA. She wasn't going to report it because she's so embarrassed. But when the IRS notice came out and said, hey, we want $200,000 in taxes, she then had to report the scam. To protect yourself, never send money or personal information to anyone you've not met in person. Communicating on date app. If it's a love interest appears to be in a hurry to get off the dating app to secure you on a chat ad or it's a red flag. Asking specific questions about details given in your profile. Basically, what scammers do is they want to get as much detail as out to you as possible. So if they get a little bit of information and they start getting your account, they have all the rest of information to take your money. You also want to research the dating profile. You can go to ti10i.com or images.google.com. Again, that's 10i.com or images.google.com to see if the profile picture actually matches the person. Because a lot of times it's a model. They found some beautiful person sitting on a couch somewhere. They crop it up and they put it on there. And you think you're getting hooked up by somebody who's gorgeous. Quite frankly, it doesn't really work well. Next, Facebook. You get an email that says, we recently discovered a breach for our Facebook community standards on your page. Your page has been disabled for violating Facebook terms. If you believe this decision is incorrect, you can request a review or file an appeal. The message may also state if you don't act in the next 24 hours, Facebook will completely delete your account. The email includes the link that appears to be Facebook. Because you want to keep your account, you may think click. However, you must stay calm and take a closer look. On a closer inspection, you'll likely find a scam. These include typos, email sender's address that aren't related to Facebook. If you hover over the link of the email without clicking it, you'll discover that it doesn't point to a Facebook website. If you click the link, you'll likely be taken to an official looking page prompting you to complete a form to appeal the violation. You'll be asked for your login information, phone number, email, and the page will confirm your password and hit submit. Now the scammers have all your information. The big thing here is don't panic. Always read suspicious email carefully. Look for signs of scams. Verify the claim. Log into your Facebook account directly to verify the problem. Always log into your account directly. Guard your login credentials. This is very, very important. There's 13 big scams that are hitting us here in this tax time. 1, phishing emails to verify your information. 2, phone calls demanding your tax payment. IRS never calls you, by the way. Filing a tax return under your name. Some people actually do that. They steal your Social Security number. Claiming your Social Security number has been spent, or filing a ghost tax return for you, which could delay getting your tax return filed. Next, receiving emails requesting additional tax information. IRS doesn't send you emails. They don't call you. Fake IRS messages saying you owe a larger number. Unemployment and stimulus fraud. There's a ton of them. Big things to know about tax fraud. IRS doesn't call you. They don't email you. They send you letters. And if they send you letters, they're going to give you a phone number. And if you get a letter like that, and I got a letter like that, all you really want to do here is go look up the IRS phone number locally and call them. By the way, you're probably going to be on hold for 20 or 30 minutes. So a sure sign that something's a scam is when you call that IRS number, somebody picks up immediately. Isn't that interesting? Hey, I want to thank y'all for joining us here on Saving with Steve. Stick with us. We'll be right back. But right back means next week. Hope you have a wonderful week. Stay safe and be healthy. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.